Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Preacher Boys podcast. I make this show for you, and I hope that you really enjoy it. I have a lot of people that ask me how they can support the show financially, and you can do that by heading over to patreon.com/preacherboys. You're going to get access to exclusive content, including early releases of episodes. I've got a couple episodes right now that have been released at least a month early over on Patreon. You've got access to things like unique merch, depending on what tier you join, and you get access to some behind the scenes content that I'm posting within the group. So head over to patreon.com/preacherboys and become a member over there today. Every single supporter helps make this show a little bit more possible, especially as I continue to add additional episodes and content every single week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's get back to the show.
Trigger warning. This podcast contains descriptions of various abusive situations. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to the Preacher Boys podcast, a podcast shedding light on decades of mental, physical, and sexual abuse within the independent fundamental Baptist movement. The testimonies shared on this podcast are told from the personal experience and perspective of the survivors. Not all legal outcomes are known or final. Any suspect is presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. Now, here is your host, Eric Skwarzynski.
Welcome back to the Preacher Boys podcast. Today's guest is the one and only Chris Hansen. Whether you know him from his show To Catch a Predator, or you've seen clips on YouTube, or you've checked out his podcast, you're familiar with what an absolute legend he is. And I was so lucky that my friend Travis Chappell invited me to co-host an episode with him on the Travis Makes Friends podcast. Stay tuned. This one is a great one. And be sure to check out the Travis Makes Friends podcast to see more content from my buddy Travis. All right, let's get into today's episode with Chris Hansen.
Chris, have a seat.
Thank you, Travis. You took my line.
Yeah.
I'll let you do it.
On purpose. Yeah.
Thank you.
So on this episode, for those of you watching and listening, you may be familiar with my producer, Eric. I asked Eric to sit in on this episode because Eric's podcast, Preacher Boys, talks a lot about abuse within the religious subset that we both grew up in the independent fundamental Baptist world. And so Eric has been looking forward to this conversation as well. So let's go ahead and dive right in. I know we're limited on time. You got a new show coming out, lots of stuff happening. So before we jump into some backstory and context, let's throw a quick plug in at the very beginning so people know what you got going on.
Sure.
And why we're even here at South Point to begin.
Well, in Vegas, here at the South Point Casino, we're doing a live, interactive, multimedia show on February 3rd, 4th, and 5th called, Predators I've Caught with Chris Hansen. So it's a tell-all taking people behind the scenes of 19 years of investigation. So people are going to see things they haven't seen before, hear things they haven't seen before, and have a chance to interact with me, and we'll have some items on set, actually, from the investigations.
Nice.
that people get a chance to interact with. But I'm excited about it because I think it's an extension of what we've been doing at True Blue, our new streaming network, with crime reporting and continuing to do the predator investigations and to bring people inside of it. And at the end of the day, obviously, there's entertainment value here. Mm-hmm. There's a dark, humorous level to it, undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. But it all brings attention to a very important topic. And it's a crime where there is no demand reduction, right? Mm. It's not like the drug problem. So your best defense is education and awareness and how you teach kids to be safe, just like some of the guys you profile in your investigations and your shows, to protect themselves. And that's really what it's about. If you can get inside the mind of a predator, understand a little bit how that works, hear the voice of a victim, you can prevent other people from becoming victims.
So February 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
And 5th, right here at the South
here
Point.
Here at South Point Hotel in Vegas. So I know everybody out there is always looking for an excuse to come to Vegas. So now you have one. February 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We're going to try to come through with me and my wife, him and his wife and everything.
Oh, awesome.
Support.
Yeah, that'd be great to have you. Thank
thing.
You very much.
Be a great time. So rewind the clock, Chris.
Sure.
I want to go back in time. This, whenever I talk with anybody, and I say this a lot so people that are listening might think this is repetitive. Whenever I talk with somebody who has turned in, who has taken something and turned it into just a very eclectic and interesting career, I never seem to find that person wrote this on like the what I want to be when I grow up form when you were nine.
It's not a career day thing. Where it's like,
there wasn't a booth. Yeah.
In this business, if you wait till career day, it's too late, But I did always want to be a television reporter.
Okay.
From a very early age. We grew up in suburban Detroit, a mile and a half from where Jimmy Hoffa was last seen and presumably kidnapped. I became fascinated at 15 years old. Used to ride my bike up to the crime scene, and we had neighbors who were involved in the investigation. The network news guys were there, the local news guys, the FBI, the police. And so I guess I got bit by the bug a little bit back then. So when I went to Michigan State at college, I just walked over from the dorm and signed up for the campus radio news network.
Okay.
And suddenly one day I was a reporter.
What did your parents do?
My dad was in the auto industry in sales.
That makes sense in Detroit.
Yeah, in Detroit, like virtually everybody else in the neighborhood. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom for many years until she decided to go show homes at a development near our neighborhood. A luxury home development was built on, when I was growing up, what was 40 acres of woods. And she turned that into being head of sales for a major luxury home builder and had quite a successful career herself late in life. I mean, I don't think she started this till she was in her 50s. And it always it was a great source of pride for me to see how she was able to do this and professionalism that she had. And my wife and I will be at social settings. We have an apartment in New York City and a home in Michigan, still suburban Detroit. Mm-hmm. And people will come up to us and say, your mother sold us a home, you know, 20 years
That's
ago.
That's hilarious.
And she treated us like she would treat you or your two sisters. And that was one of the secrets to her success, was she cared whether you're the wealthiest person or you're kind of ham and egging it to try and get in this luxury home.
Right.
You know, she would tell you, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And she cared about every detail in those homes and was the liaison between, you know, the owner of the home building company, it was a family-owned company, and the buyer, and would make sure all the finishing touches were done to their satisfaction. And she was great. She made a great living.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Was there any pressure or encouragement to do a certain something with your life at all? Or was it just like, go to school, get a good job, do what you want to do?
There was no, you know, intense pressure. Nobody went to an Ivy League school or, there was an expectation of going to college in those days. My mom was very supportive and, you know, when my dad would be traveling for his job, she would make sure that, you know, I was out the door at 8 o'clock to go caddy or, you know, work at Mr. Pacey's Bakery or whatever I was doing.
So they very much encouraged us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worked from the age of 13.
There you go.
You know, whether it was hauling golf bags at the local country club or doing whatever I was doing. I always joke that I only had three prior jobs to being a journalist. It was caddying, Mr. Pacey's Bakery as a baker's apprentice, hauling drywall, and then journalism. That's it.
That's the traditional path if you want to be a journalist.
So if you're listening, that's the step.
Although hauling drywall with guys from the inner city did give me a great education, one that you could not get just at Michigan State University. I mean, in terms of life lesson and dealing with people from all walks of life. And
empathy, respect.
Well, hard work.
Yeah.
You know, imagine being 17 years old, graduating from Brother Rice High School, showing up to work hauling drywall, which you're not really sure what that entails, but you know that the company's owned by a pal of your dad's, and you're going to make $7.50 an hour, which in 1977 was a boatload of money and paid for a lot of tuition. And you jump in the truck with Lee Arthur Ramsey, and your job is to take one part of this two-sheet-bound drywall package, weighing hundreds of pounds, and get it to the next direction without breaking your partner's back, who's an adult who's supporting his family by doing this, not just doing it for the summer. Jump in the truck, there's a pack of cigarettes on the dashboard, and he looks at me and says, you smoke, you want a cigarette? I go, no, I don't smoke. He goes, good, you're going to need all the breath you got. Let's go. And he was my partner for the next 3 years.
That's fantastic.
He's a great guy, great lessons.
I mean, journalism is broad. There's a lot of different stories you can cover. Like, what made you push in the direction of Predators? I know it was supposed to be originally a one-off story,
and
then it took off. Like, what drove you to the story initially?
Well, I was always interested in investigative crime-type stories, enterprise stories, things where we employed hidden cameras. And so when I learned about this online watchdog group, Perverted Justice, I started to think if we could use their ability to be decoys online and our ability at the network to wire a house with hidden cameras and microphones, it could be pretty compelling. So at the time, Perverted Justice would put decoys in the chat rooms, and if an adult approached one of the decoys posing as a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kid, obvious profile, and there was a sexual liaison plan, they would post this person's picture and identity on the website. Mm. Well, we took it a step further. We created a scenario where we would come face-to-face with this potential child predator and confront them. So we did so in Bethpage, Long Island, and I was driving out there, and I wondered, you know, did we just blow tens of thousands of dollars of the network's money, and nobody is going to show up, which is always, you know, potential. If it was easy, everybody could do it, you know. So we didn't partner or collaborate with law enforcement for that or the second investigation, and, you know, I'm driving out there, and my producer calls and says, where the hell are you? We've got two guys scheduled in 45 minutes. And, you know, 2.5 days later, 17 guys had surfaced in that investigation, including a New York City firefighter. So the story, the show kind of sat at the network for a minute.
Yeah.
And people were in the executive ranks trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? How do we do it? You know, this is obviously phenomenally compelling material.
Right.
I mean, stuff that has never been seen on television before. How do we do it? And I remember being in a meeting, and we shot this in February 2004. Now we're in late summer, early fall, and I'm sort of pushing to get this on TV.
Yeah.
And an executive looks at me and says, I just don't know how to promote it. And I, much to the shock of everybody in the room, I said, you know how to promote this? Here's how you promote it. There's a man on your back porch with his penis in his hand, and he wants to stick it in your daughter. Tonight, we're going to tell you how to prevent that from happening.
I don't remember that TV spot.
No, there wasn't. It wasn't a spot, but I was so frustrated at not getting it on the air.
Basically, it's like, let me be as blunt as possible.
I did it for shock value.
Marketing piece.
Yeah. And so, you know, everybody's looking at me like, Hanson's finally lost his mind. And there was a collective. There was a collective. I mean, everybody was on. I'm being, you know, sarcastic here, facetious to make a point, but everybody sort of understood, okay, it's time.
Sure.
We're going to do the best we can with this material. It's, you know, pushes the boundaries of what you can put on primetime television.
It's a proceed with caution.
And so there was a legitimate concern. People weren't trying to hush it up or cover it up or anything. I didn't mean to insinuate that. Everybody wanted this to go on TV. And so we did it, and it had quite a response. And so we did it again. And the third time we collaborated with law enforcement. And, you know, some of the cases were prosecuted in the first two investigations. But at the end of the day, these guys would walk out the door. And so it wasn't really the most socially responsible way to proceed. Mm-hmm. And from a television production standpoint, it was rather unfulfilling to see these guys walk away, even though in some of the cases they were later prosecuted. So we did from then on and up until, you know, including the new investigations we're doing now as we speak, we collaborate with law enforcement. Mm. And it's the only responsible way to do it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're taking a big responsibility on your shoulders.
Well, right. And, you know, when we used perverted justice decoys, you know, that was, I think, a sound way to proceed. They're no longer in existence. It is also a cleaner prosecution to employ the law enforcement decoys. So in most cases, that's what we do. We rely on law enforcement for that. And just it's just a better way to operate.
When you're walking through some of these doors and facing these people that you've been tracking and you know that they're there for these insidious reasons, are you nervous? Like, are you heart pumping? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I mean,
did that go away or subside with time?
You manage it, you know, but I've learned, you know, from sources in law enforcement and people who do things like I do, the day you get lazy and think that, or not lazy, but, you know, lax about procedure and you're not completely focused, that's when stuff happens that you don't want to happen. So I'm always aware.
Vigilant.
Of the situation, but it happens quickly. And you're looking at the man's hands, you're looking at the body language. And again, law enforcement's very close by.
Yeah.
We have this set up to be absolutely as safe as it can possibly be. But there's no doubt that the inherent risk is part of what draws people to watch it.
Sure.
And we are covering the commission of a felony. So, you know, there's inherent risk here. But I think for what it is, we make it absolutely as safe as possible. And the times I've almost got my ass kicked, we're not doing predator stories or going over to Cambodia to expose child sex trafficking or going to Africa to expose you know, Al-Qaeda dealing at blood time. It is the most danger I've ever been is, you know, exposing a bike thief in Greenwich Village and, you know, going after a counterfeit phone part salesman in a mall in Connecticut. Those are the last two times that I almost got, you know, into a fight. So, go figure. You know, I just always find that ironic. Yeah. You know?
The seemingly least dangerous ones.
Yeah. I mean, we're in Connecticut, all right.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Hey, everybody, we're going to get back to the show in just a minute. But first, I want to let you know that this episode's sponsor is Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. I picked the keto option, and I have to say I have tried a ton of different meal prep services, and while I've liked some of them, this is without a doubt the best meal prep service that I have used to date. And I'm saying that 100% honestly. They didn't write that in a script for me to say. I'm telling you from my very own experience. I actually just ate before recording this ad, the jalapeno lime cheddar chicken with spicy cilantro cauliflower rice. And it was absolutely incredible. But I want you to try it for yourself. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready to eat meals. It eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up, all things that I absolutely hate doing. And all you have to do is heat and savor the good stuff. It is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. And Factor is also incredible because they're doing something special for my audience. You can head over to factormeals.com/preacherboys50 and use code preacherboys50 at checkout to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code preacherboys50 at factormeals.com/preacherboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. All right, let's get back to the show.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you started realizing that the show was going to have some success, that things were moving in the right direction, was there any sort of questions that you were having for yourself at that point in terms of like, is this something, like, because you're talking about responsibility, is this something that we should keep doing? How do we go about doing this the right
way? Well, I think it raised a lot of questions about that. And I think there were those in traditional journalism who turned their nose up at it a little bit.
Yeah.
Is it shaming people? Is it, you know, what's the purpose of it? And I maintain that because it is a crime where demand reduction doesn't work, it's not like the drug problem, that the best way to approach it, to combat it, is through education and awareness, and to have a dialogue with your children that prevents them from becoming targets. And that's a tall order. It's a big ask, but I think our stories continue that dialogue. And again, you know, people don't always watch them for that reason.
Yeah.
There are darkly humorous moments, as we mentioned, but you know, I don't mind that because it continues to create awareness. We're doing a big story for True Blue on sextortion and these kids who are targeted online, and scammers pretend to be girls and they send a sexually explicit photo to a young man and they get him to send a sexually explicit photo back, and then they blackmail him. And sometimes these scam artists are half a world away in Africa or wherever. And these kids get so shocked, and they're 16, 17 years old. Their brains aren't formed all the way. They're straight-A students. Oh, my God, what's going to happen if they send this picture to grandma? And they commit suicide. There have been at least a dozen suicides that we know of in our investigation in these sextortion cases.
Wow.
I was at the San Jose Police Department last week. They had 4 sextortion reports in one day, the day before I was doing the interviews. And I sat there with grieving parents who tell me what a wonderful boy their son was and are still coming to grips with the fact that he didn't come forward and say, I effed up.
Yeah.
Let's get through it. And the parents like, you know, there's no risk here to you. We would have got through this. We would have scrubbed the internet. Who's going to see it anyway? But in their mind, in that snapshot of time, they were so shocked and embarrassed that they took their own lives.
Wow. Yeah.
And to me, you know, that's the kind of story that you have to really get out there. And on many levels, and that's what True Blue allows us to do, is to turn these things around. You know, I've been in this business 40 years, so I have access. I have a brand. And we use it for these types of things that will not only reach people on our streaming platform, but also we can then produce a version that we can give to schools across the country and police departments around the country. And fine, take it.
Yeah,
you know, we've already had our commercial bite at it on our own streaming network.
Yeah.
So share it. Give it away. Let people watch it and use that brand in whatever school cafeteria or gymnasium around the country that might help somebody from not doing that. It's a waste of a life. And it just, you know, I approach this stuff as a parent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, like, because you were a parent doing To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
So, like, I know for me doing my show for the last 3 years, like, it's hard not to be paranoid because it is the least suspecting people. It's like you said, there's a NY, you know, New York firefighter, there's
you're
police
with a
officers.
You know. We've had clergy come into our sting operations.
Yeah. Does that, how did you navigate that as a parent where you're like, you want to let your kids still have a normal childhood, but also you've seen, I mean, you've seen what's on air, but you've also seen in the investigations.
Well, we watched it together, you know, and to me, part of parenting is tricking your kid into doing what you want them to do without them and let them think it's their idea.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. I wish I had thought it up myself, but I borrowed it from a parent, my parents' age. But I don't remember being overly paranoid about it. I mean, I there were boys doing boy stuff and, you know, I always tried to lead by example as best as I could and have them a part of the process. I mean, they're in the business now. One's behind the camera, one's in front of the camera. So
oh, really?
They're doing their own thing now. They're 31 and 28. And I mean, there's one funny story that, you know, one of my youngest son at the, you know, early stages of Facebook, they created a fan page for a teacher and they had it was a Catholic school and they had a statue of Christ in there and they made some fun of the teacher and they got in trouble for it. Mm-hmm. And so I get a call from the headmistress of the school and I'm panicky because I'm in a car headed to the airport and it's, you know, why is the head of the school calling? And she says, there's something about your son. And I said, what happened? I said, is everybody okay? Yeah, it's okay. But they created a Facebook. I go, oh, no, what did they do? And so they, you know, Mr. So-and-so was great. And it should have been a situation where Mr. So-and-so made him run 5 laps on the football field and been done with it. But instead it elevated into this big thing. And he learned his lesson, but you know, that in terms of online stuff, we were very fortunate that that's about as serious as it does.
But very devious.
Yeah. But again, sinister as it was, but we are on the early stages of this. Now stuff was going on. Yeah. Right. And I'm sure there's stuff that happened that I don't know about as a parent that even being an investigative reporter that was kept, you know, swept under the rug from me at the time. But, as so many times happens. But I think, you know, it got more difficult to navigate right after those years. Because when we were doing Predator, you know, they were young, but, you know, they had enough of a kind of a watchdog over them between parents that, you know, I don't think anything serious happened.
How's it changed all the investigations and things with how much? Because, like, it's chat rooms on AOL versus now there's Facebook and Instagram.
Well, it's so Snapchat. So diffuse now. You know, I mean, when we started this, we merely had decoys on AOL and Yahoo, and that's where all the activity was.
Maybe, Yahoo.
Maybe MySpace, you know, remember that? And now there are countless media platforms, and so there's more activity, more nefarious activity than ever before, but it's so diffuse that it's hard to catch these guys. I mean, you've got online gaming, you've got all the platforms that you guys are aware of, that I'm aware of, and stuff that we don't even know about yet.
Right.
And then it all switches over to, you know, one-on-one DMing or texting. But it happens even in the most innocent of platforms, or what we think they are. We have a case right now. We're doing a whole hour special for True Blue on a 12-year-old girl who was approached by a guy in Florida. A girl was in Michigan, approached, groomed, set up a meeting. He flies up from Florida, has the 12-year-old girl sneak out of her bedroom window, meet him in a church parking lot. He takes her to a hotel, sexually assaults her. She goes to the emergency room, predictable injuries. They report it. They go back through the chats. They find the surveillance video at the hotel. They find the rental car receipt. They trace them all the way back to Florida. The Genesee County Sheriff's Department in Michigan goes back down there, finds him, braces him. He gives him a statement. Turns out that he had been stalking the family. We find out just the other night, got his text, that he's in a Walmart where the girl and her parents are, telling her to go into a family restroom so they can start this relationship.
Oh,
and, you know, imagine how chilling that is. And then he gets her to sneak out the window of her home and assaults her. And they bring him up. And he cops out. He admits to two other sexual assaults that went down the same way in other states.
Wow.
So here's a guy, Peter Pejic is his name, and so he's going to be the target of one of our big investigations, probably in the next week or two on True Blue.
Well, that's the scary thing. It's never won, you know?
No, and all these guys over and over again, this is my first time, I'll never do it again. You know,
or
all
I wasn't this, going to.
Yeah, I wasn't. I just, we had a guy, we just put on True Blue, the most recent one. He shows up at a house. He's got a jar of weed as big as your water cup there, condoms, money, all kinds of stuff. And I was just here to, you know, help her out, to get her out of this bad trash.
Well, that's my favorite. I was concerned for her, so I came to check.
And the kicker to that is, it gets to the point where I say, well, there's something you need to know. And I'm Chris Hansen. He said, I knew that. I said, well, how did you know? He goes, I'm 49 years old. I watch TV. Everybody knows that. So, well, what are you doing here? We're getting now,
like generational.
No, it's generational. Yeah. We have generational followers. Yeah. We're the third generation of followers now because, you know, kids pick this up on social media, on YouTube, and all these other platforms, as well as the original ones. But these guys, more often than not, will say in the chat logs, hey, you know, this isn't the Chris Hansen thing, is it? Or this isn't a Sheriff So-and-so thing.
No.
And they
come, it is not.
No, yeah, I promise.
Exactly. Who's that? You know, and they come up and we get fanboys now. I mean, it's shocking to me.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, they probably have whole trainings on how to spot a Chris Hansen text.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, I mean, obviously, I watched the show and I was thinking back. I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, thinking about when I started watching it, because I remember watching it with my dad, like, young, and having conversations about, like, how dumb these guys are and all this kind of stuff. But obviously, like, now through the podcast, through the show, through the streaming service, you've kept, you know, sharing the message in different ways. So the show you're doing in Vegas, like, what is that approach? And how do you, when you hear live show to get the credit, like, is there a plant in the audience? How are we? It's a very elaborate setup.
I mean, it's a very unique franchise, you know? Yeah, it's not like one of those, you know, when the state police has the TV giveaway for all the people who are behind on the
chair. Check the chair next to you.
Somebody look under your chairs.
Yeah, you owe some money to the state. There's no sting that we're aware of there. No, but I think it's an opportunity to, you know, satisfied people's curiosity, yeah. this intent, this intense interest in what we do and how we do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very, I don't know if intimate is the right word, but it is. It's interactive, maybe is the better word. To have people in a room that's not too big and to talk about this and to show some things they haven't seen before and to get behind the scenes in essentially a tell-all. Mm-hmm. And a tell-all in a good way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and because there's, people always ask, you know, is there anything you haven't shown? Is there everything we don't know? And for the most part, we have everything out there in the shows. We don't hold anything back. But there are, there's context to it that I can give in a show like this here at the South Point in February that you can't give in a 5, 10, 12 minute piece.
Sure.
And that's what this is about. And I've had, you know, I've given a lot of speeches and talks to different groups over the years in different places. And you know, now that COVID is pretty much opened up again so we can do this, it was a great opportunity to start here. And it's a template that we can use at college campuses across the country and for groups who, you know, seek to educate people on this very topic.
Yeah. What is, so you have now your own streaming platform called True Blue, which you just launched very recently. The whole idea behind it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is basically a platform dedicated to essentially true crime, these types of sting operations. What, besides, you're doing a show there. What are some of the other types of shows that people can expect to watch?
Well, for instance, we have a one coming out called The Facebook Fiend, where a number of young women had been victimized by a guy who posed this new agey, you know, musician. And he would set up meetings, he would sexually assault them, physically assault them, take money from them, and this grooming would take place over a period of weeks. And these women were so upset that they couldn't get their story told and they weren't getting, you know, interest that they thought they should get from law enforcement. And it was all around the country. I mean, it was Arizona and Washington State and Maryland, and this guy was very prolific, and he's a total sociopath. And so they came to me. And we started putting it together. And this is why True Blue is so great, because we can respond to these things right
now.
Within weeks of them coming to me, we're doing interviews.
Because your mission isn't like, we need views on a network. Your mission is, we need to get as many of these stories out as we can.
Well, exactly. I mean, look, we need views.
Sure.
Right. We're not doing this
for free.
Yeah. I mean, we need to cover the, you know, what we do here. So there's obviously a commercial aspect to it. But also, we cut through all the bureaucracy of being networked.
Yeah. Right.
We don't have 12 months of A meetings and B meetings and green light meetings, and the agent pairs you up with a production company and they go pitch it, and they may give you seed money for the sizzle, but then they don't want the sizzle because their budget's messed up for that year, and could we do it next year, and now we go to a different network. It's mind-numbing. Now I call Sean Rack, who's my partner at True Blue, say, I need a crew on Thursday. Conrad shows up with his gear and crew on Thursday, and we shoot the story.
That sounds much better.
Now, because it is much better. And look, I'm in a stage of my career where I can do this, right? But because of the investigation, partly because of our investigation into the Facebook Fiend, charges were filed in Washington State. And because of our investigation, they were able to determine that he was in New York. And they were able to get a warrant, and they were able to get the marshals to grab him.
Awesome.
And they went on and got him and bring him back to Washington to face criminal charges. Now, I've watched a lot of these cases, and a lot of these predators, all kinds of predators, know how to target vulnerable people. Not stupid people.
Yeah.
Not desperate people. Vulnerable people. And they know right who to look for. Single mom, not much of a social life. What a nice guy. Yeah, sure. Let's continue this conversation. Maybe we can get together. You know, my son is with his grandpa this weekend. Let's get together. Yeah. And that's how it starts. And they know this.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's your advice to somebody? Like, there's so much good things that come from,
absolutely,
from DMing people on social media or from...
We get stories all the time.
Yeah, a lot of great couples have come out of it.
I have friends who met and married because of their relationship on social media.
Sure. So what do you do? Like, hey, if this person invites you to their hotel room, probably not a good fit, but like go to a busy area, meet first time
it's at a be in
busy
public.
Restaurant you know, somewhere and or whatever.
Look, we're doing another story on, you know, dating sites. Mm. You know, we have a whole franchise that we're developing on, you know, to catch a serial bad guy dater. And there's a lot of common sense that has to go into it. And what I preach to parents and to kids, if you don't know somebody in real life, you don't know them online. Mm. And the guy who sends a picture of a, you know, good-looking surfer dude from San Diego could be a fat 68-year-old, you know, in his mother's basement, in his underwear, surrounded by pizza boxes.
Right.
You know, so you don't know what you have. And so you need to do your due diligence. And it's sad that, you know, if you're a single guy or gal looking to you know, create a relationship of some sort, that you have to be a private detective, you know. I mean, really, I mean, it's sad that you have to do that. I mean, you know, in the olden days, you went to the restaurant or the bar, or you met people at work, or, you know, but the pandemic largely changed all that. I mean, there are people whose only relationships for a period of
even coworkers, you know.
Yeah, I mean, totally. It's we're isolated, and when it comes to inappropriate contact between adults and children, it soared during the pandemic. Mm. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children will tell you, and there's mandatory reporting that goes to that organization, that those approaches went up 900% at the peak of the pandemic.
Oh my
god! So what does that tell you? And so it's across the board. It's not just adults trying to do horrible things to children. It's adults on adults. It's, you know, any kind of scam that you can possibly imagine.
I think you highlighted something, because I know naysayers of you, and I see naysayers of what I do that go into, this is law enforcement. Let them cover it. Why are you talking about it? Why are you sharing it? And I think from what you just said, like, one, there's too much for law enforcement to even possibly handle all of it. But on the other side, like, where do you see that responsibility kind of end with you exposing versus let's step away from this and just wait for law enforcement to handle this?
Well, that's a very good question. And I'm not, I think I found the balance with the kind of proactive enterprise journalism that I practice. It is not vigilante.
Right.
I mean, you see some of these people on
YouTube.
You're
not turning the camera off when they get in the room.
No.
It's not dog the bounty hunter bursting the door.
Yeah, we are covering the commission of a felony, and we hold people accountable. And because of my years doing it, law enforcement across the board will collaborate for the most part. I mean, obviously, look, there are big agencies that have bureaucracies that don't make it easy to do this, but we know which agencies to work with. It's not the vigilante thing where the guy does research, you know, finds a guy who's doing this and just jumps out of the bushes and makes 10 seconds of dramatic video. Yeah.
There's a lot of those guys.
There are a lot of those guys. And those cases are very difficult to prosecute. Mm-hmm. And so you get a guy who's done something bad who walks. Now, I'm not, you know, criticizing all of them. Some of them have done work that's led to prosecutions. Some are well-meaning, but more often than not, these vigilante groups are problematic for a lot of different reasons, including the fact that they're just out to get clicks and attention and gain money. Now, I like clicks and attention, and I like to have a commercial enterprise. I get it, but the way we do it is much different than the way some of these other guys do it.
Yeah.
There is plenty of room in society for citizen journalists and people who have podcasts and people who help solve crimes and create discussion and awareness as a whole industry onto itself of that. Mm-hmm. And that's good. Citizen journalists should have a voice. But it can go downhill quickly.
Yeah, sure.
If done irresponsibly. Yeah.
And not ethically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we had a lot more time. There's a lot more things that we could dive into.
Well, I promise I'll come back. I enjoyed this very much.
We'll do a part two. We'll do a part two. Maybe head over to our studio once it's finished up, to a part two to this. But I just, before we take off, want to re-highlight February 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Right here.
Here at South Point in Vegas. Anybody that comes, let me know if you're coming into town. Love to meet up and say what's up to you, because I'll be in and around that time period as well. And then True Blue, if you're watching, listening, any of these stories piqued interest, that's kind of where I want to wrap up, is can you tell us something that's on True Blue that people will need to go check out that was one of the crazier stories that you guys are covering currently?
Well, I mean, One of the upcoming documentaries is about a con woman named Tracy Hutsana, who spent some time here in Las Vegas, who now owns a couple of restaurants with her husband. This woman has been involved in the con game since she was like 15 years old, according to her own family. She was hired by a woman named Jumana Kidd, who's a television personality, the former wife of Jason Kidd, the basketball star and Dallas Mavericks coach. In the course of a few months, Tracy Hutsana was able to scam, steal, and divert upwards of $3 million from Jumana Kidd and her children.
Oh, my gosh.
And this might have gone unprosecuted and unknown to many people, but for Jumana becoming a detective on her own and really bringing a great case to NYPD, because the accounts, even though she lives in L.A., the accounts were still in the New York area, and the FBI, which investigated, and we got in very early on this case and have chased, you know, Tracy Hutsana around to hold accountable, and it's an amazing yarn.
Wow.
So that's at the final stages of production now. Obviously, we've got all the new Predator cases. We've got the sextortion special coming out. We've got the Facebook fiend that's about to come out, and many, many others. And then we have some lighter fare. We have a whole series on firehouses around the country and the food they serve and the different recipes. It's just really fun. And then we have a whole cache of films and documentaries. My partner, Sean Reck, among other films he did before we became partners, did the White Boy documentary on White Boy Rick Worshi, who was a drug dealer, teen drug dealer in Detroit. A story that I broke as a young reporter in Detroit in the 80s.
No way. Okay.
And that's how I met Sean, was he interviewed me for that film 6 years ago, and we got to talking. And he had launched American Gospel TV, which is a gospel-themed streamer. It's done very, very well. And he got together with me and said, let's do this for crime. And that's what we're doing.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. So if you're checking this out, February 3rd, 4th, and 5th here in Las Vegas. And then if you're watching this and it happens to be past that date, then go subscribe to True Blue. Check out some of the shows that Chris is putting out. It's always, always compelling, interesting, intriguing content.
Watch TrueBlue.com, TRUBLU, podcast Predators I've Caught.
Predators I've Caught, the podcast. Yes. So go check that one out. Totally free. Listen, whatever podcasting platform you're listening on right now, go check that one out as well. Chris, thanks so much for coming
on. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. No, it was a pleasure. Thanks, good luck with all your work.
Thank you for listening to the Preacher Boys podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, please leave a review on iTunes. And don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with the handle @PreacherBoysDoc. Additional information can always be found on PreacherBoysDoc.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.